Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's an historic day at the UN with the new Egyptian president, Mohamed Morsi, the first democratically elected leader in Egyptian history, giving his first speech, and outgoing Iranian president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad making his last to the General Assembly. The U.S. boycotted that speech this morning, but that did not stop Ahmadinejad from taking aim at Western nations, the U.S. and its ally Israel, whom he called the uncivilized Zionist threatening his nation.
No one feels secure or safe, even those who have stockpiled thousands of atomic bombs and other arms in their arsenals.
There has been criticism of scheduling Ahmadinejad on Yom Kippur, this highest of holy days for Jews. But world leaders are gathered in New York for their annual meeting with a wide agenda, including the increasing violence in Syria. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who's holed up in London in the Ecuador embassy, will make an appearance via video link to talk about human rights. President Obama addressed the assembly yesterday. His Republican rival Mitt Romney and Obama are both out on the campaign trail, and there's been criticism there as well. Let's bring in Thanasi Kambanis, journalist and fellow at the Century Foundation. Thanasi, Egypt considered by experts to be the traditional leader of the Arab world. Here you have this first democratically elected leader of the country. And the president, it's been reported, quietly canceled a meeting that he was scheduled to have with Morsi. What's going on here?
Well, President Obama this year at the UN General Assembly meeting has canceled all the bilaterals with global leaders. And in a sense, it's kind of a coming of age of his foreign policy. These are symbolic meetings where nothing really gets done, and foreign leaders feel that they can show their status by getting a few minutes with the president. And this year he said, no, I'm not going to do any of that. And instead, maybe for the first time, he sketched out his own bold and aggressive vision for the Middle East and for America's unapologetic strategy towards the world.
Well, of course, his opponents are saying that he was afraid of the photo. The president not meeting one-on-one with any world leaders during this gathering, but in particular with Morsi, who is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. His opponents have been saying that, you know, this is a fragile situation in Egypt and one that they don't support. You know, this is the whole post the revolution in Egypt, and that this is a political move on the part of the president. He didn't want to be seen with a Muslim president.
I think that's a bit silly. I mean, no matter what Obama does at this point, he's getting some pretty vacuous criticism from the right and with the campaign. In terms of his position towards so-called Arab Spring countries, and specifically towards Egypt, especially since the embassy raids, what he's doing is actually smart policy. And here with Egypt especially, it's important. He said he gave them a major wrist slap, and he's effectively said, if you want us to be real allies, you've got to earn it. And you'll remember he very pointedly said that he wouldn't consider Egypt an ally, but he wouldn't consider them an enemy. And that was a real wake-up call to Mohamed Morsi. And now the Egyptians are going to have to earn whatever new relationship they have with the American president, and this sort of arm's length at the UN is part of that.
Well, address Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. As we said, he's already spoken. You spoke with him at a small gathering earlier in the week. What did you take away from that?
Well, look, first of all, let's remember that in terms of actual power in Iran, Ahmadinejad has about as much power as the White House spokesman has in Washington.
Elaborate on that, because some people may not have picked up on that.
Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei is the decision maker on all the things that we really care about, including the nuclear program, and he has, by Iran's order, I mean, he is the supreme leader, and that's a real thing. He has all the power. So Ahmadinejad is largely a ceremonial figure. He does have some domestic power. I don't mean to overstate his irrelevance. But for the things we care about, the questions of war and peace and nuclear weapons program, he's not the decider. So that being said, of course, he's an important bellwether, and of course he has the capacity to inflame nations and irritate people. What was striking in this last visit to New York is that he almost always has come in the past armed with at least one tangible offer or concession, along with a whole sort of bevy of obnoxious comments. This time he didn't have anything like that. He didn't have a proposal like the fissile material transfer to Turkey and Brazil that he came with last year. And so what we were left with, I think, was a sense that Iran is now believes it can try and go with a full confrontational policy and say, we're not going to make any compromises until you back off and lift sanctions. And, of course, that's going to be a dead end of a position.
Thanasi Kambanis, journalist fellow at the Century Foundation. His book, by the way, Thor, A Privilege to Die Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel. Thanasi, thanks so much, as always, for weighing in.
Great to talk to you, Robin.